I want to welcome you all to the program Warning. Wherever you're watching or listening, welcome. This is Dr. Jonathan Hansen, the president of World Ministries International, as well as Eagle Saving Nations. Please go to my website, worldministries.org, and check it out. This is a live audience. We're in our college chapel here at World Ministries International. Children present. I'm going to talk today on who is the Holy Ghost. Who is the Holy Ghost? This is a most important question. Another important question is the Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost, relevant for today? Because half the churches in America reject the baptism of the Holy Ghost. They reject it, the gifts of God, apostles, prophets, half of the churches. They back sins of abomination. They ordain homosexuals, drag queens in the churches. The Holy Ghost, if they reject it, are they serving God? That's the question. Luke 24:49. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you're endued with power from on high. So here Jesus thought the Holy Spirit was so important, not just salvation, when you accept Him, but if you're going to serve Him. He told His disciples and commanded them when He was ascending, don't even try to go and do ministry without my baptism. Don't try it. You can't do it. You can't do the things I do. You don't have the courage to speak the truth. You know, Peter tried before he was baptized. He ran, he hid, he lied, he denied Christ. People deny Christ all the time today. They just don't speak the truth. Luke 24:50-51. He led them out as far as Bethany. He lifted up his hands and blessed them. It came to pass while he blessed them that he departed from them and was carried up into heaven. Acts 1:8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit is upon you. You will be my witnesses to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. So here, he says again, you will receive power after you're baptized. Go tarry and don't do the ministry until you receive it. Mark 16:15-20. He said to them, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those that believe in my name. They will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it by no means will hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. How do you do these things without the baptism? You don't. And the mainline churches are not doing them. Half of the other churches aren't doing them. Because even though in their statement of faith they might believe in it, they're not tearing, they're not coveting, they don't care. You wonder what's happening to America? Why is the Republic falling? We deny one-third of the Godhead, or we don't seek it. Consequently, we're sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. We're a little bit more than a mouthpiece that opens our mouth, but you see no reality, no power, no authority. And so, other religions, why should I follow you? Because in many religions, there's miracles that happen through Satan's power. They say, my God is more powerful than yours. Jesus made it clear that he knew for his disciples to do what he did on earth. They must be baptized in the third person of the Trinity. They did not have power and authority to confront people and leaders in sin, to do miracles. But with the Holy Ghost power living in them, they could be his ambassadors. Acts 2:1-4. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. It filled the house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as fire sat upon each of them, and they were filled with the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Note, the key for God flowing powerfully through a people is obedience and unity. They obeyed. They tarried. They were in unity, in one accord. chasing the promises of God, we need to be in unity, in one accord. We need to obey the Word of God. The Word of God is the inspiration of the Holy Spirit documented in written form. They wanted this promise more than anything else, and they stayed in one accord. That's the key. They wanted it more than anything else, and they stayed till they received it. Philippians 3, 8 through 10. Yeah, indeed, I count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Jesus Christ, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things. I count them rubbish, that I may gain Christ. And having found not having my own righteousness, which is the law, but that which is through faith is Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being conformed to his death. Is this what people want? No, there's a different gospel being preached. That God's here to bless you and serve you and prosper you. What about the suffering of what he went through? Do you want to know him in his resurrection and suffering? Most Christians don't. They just don't. That's a bit too far in serving God, they would say. Consequently, they don't move with too many miracles, if any. The key in all these verses is tearing, chasing, desiring, coveting the Holy Spirit. Desiring to know the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, as they are one God manifested in three personalities, persons. As Paul said, I've suffered the loss of all things. I count them rubbish, that I may know Christ. To really know Christ is to know the Holy Ghost, which gave Christ his power and authority on earth. Remember? He came to be baptized. The Holy Spirit came upon him. He went out into the wilderness, was tempted, overcame all temptations, and started his life of miracles. Without the baptism of the Holy Spirit, it's hard to overcome temptations. Just think about that. Ephesians 6, 10 through 20. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. The whole armor of God. What's the armor of God? One of it is the Holy Ghost. How can you stand if you don't want to receive the Holy Ghost? How do you? You don't. You're like Peter before Jesus rose from the dead. He was a braggart. He boasted. Oh, I'll never do it. And he did it. And he denied him three times. He ran, he hid, he lied. So are Christians today that aren't baptized in the Holy Spirit. That doesn't mean you can't if you are, because you need a daily indwelling. A daily power with God. A daily time with God. Just like you say, I ate a good steak breakfast 10 years ago. Well, what have you ate ever since? I think you ate something. Because I'm not looking at a spirit. It's the same with the Holy Spirit. Do we spend time with him every day? Do we, like Paul, I speak in tongues more than any of you. 17 says, and the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Do we pray with supplication in the Spirit, in the Holy Ghost? Verse 20, for which I am ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Paul said, hey, I'm in prison. It's like Bonhoeffer in Hitler's prison. And Paul is strong to the very end because he said, I speak in tongues more than any of you. And God edified him every day and made him strong. How do you think these great men and women died for the Lord? Sure wasn't their strength. Note, as always, the key to be strong in the Lord, not one's ability, which is pride, is putting on the whole armor of God, putting daily on the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and deliberately choosing to make decisions by faith, not feelings or emotions, but by the word of God, which when obeyed is faith. Daily praying and worshiping God is a must. It's a must. 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 4. For though we walk in the flesh, we don't war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds. One of these times, I'm going to spend a whole message just on what does this mean? The pulling down of strongholds. Not just talking about in the air, in the heavens. It's not what it's talking about. What are we talking about pulling down of strongholds? Philosophies, ideologies, mindsets, so many other things. We're going to get into that another time. One, the Holy Spirit is a person. The Holy Spirit's not a force. You know, some people watch television too much. The force! That makes me sick. Representing the Holy Spirit. I don't know how you could watch such a... I was going to say stupid movie, and so I will say it. That's an imitation of the genuine, of the power of God, and you're watching it? Don't you have something better to do? Then watch such an imitation. Oh, the force is with you. Yeah, demons are with you. The Holy Spirit is vital to know and serve and obey God. It's vital to fulfill the Great Commission charged by Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit has feelings, can be sad, angry, and insulted. Think about it. Isaiah 63:10. But they rebelled and grieved his Holy Spirit. So he turned himself against them as an enemy. And he fought against them. You know, this is powerful. He turned against them. I believe many Christians, oh, the devil is attacking me. God is against you. You know what he wants and you don't care. You know he wants you to be baptized and you don't care. You listen to some denominational nonsense that's twisted your mind and kept you in one form of slavery and bondage. You're praying for things that can't come to pass. You've grieved the Holy Spirit and you don't even know it. You don't recognize it. And maybe you're still listening to the denominational nonsense and don't care. You know, some dispensational nonsense. The Bible is one book from beginning to end, from creation to now. Acts 7:51, Israel resists the Holy Spirit. You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears. You always resist the Holy Spirit. As your fathers did, so do you. That goes right back into Acts 7:51. That goes right back into Isaiah 63:10. You've grieved the Holy Spirit. You've resisted the Holy Spirit. Now God is fighting you. You know, have you ever thought of that? Maybe we've grieved the Holy Spirit and God is not answering our prayers. He's against us right now. I don't think most Christians even think about that. You pray, and nothing happens. Why don't you examine yourself? Is God fighting you? Is God resisting you? Have you grieved the Holy Spirit? Are you spending time with God daily like you should? Being constantly filled, speaking in tongues daily? Something to think about, isn't it? It is if you want your prayers answered, unless you don't care. Hebrews 10:29. How much worse punishment do you suppose he will be that thought it worthy who has trampled on the Son of God underfoot, counted the blood of the covenant by which he was sacrificed, a common thing, and insulted the Spirit of grace? Insulted the Spirit of grace. What is grace? My definition of grace is time given when one spirit is in the body to examine themselves and judge themselves, because when the spirit leaves their body and their body is dead on earth, then God will judge them according to the word of God, and grace for that person on earth is over. There is no more grace. Right now, there's grace. If we want to deliberately sin, there's grace. If we want to hear the word of God, we're convicted, but we don't want to repent, there's grace. But once you die, grace is over. He comes as a judge. And if you're in sin, you're damned. Something to think about, isn't it? Grace is right now. Not when your spirit leaves the body. If you are deliberately defying God, grace is over. He treats you as a rebel. It's like going outside of the blood when Moses said, hey, don't go out of this house. Don't get out of the blood. The death angel then would hit you as he hit the Egyptians. Matthew 12:31. Therefore I say to you, every sin and blasphemy will be forgiven men, but blasphemy against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven of men. A lot of people speak against the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I think they're treading on very dangerous ground. You say you worship God. How can you worship God when you deny a third of the Godhead? And you wonder what's wrong with the Republic, why we're falling? Because these churches are in sin. They back sins of abomination. They don't call for repentance. Their people are in sins of abomination. Homosexuality, lesbianism, woke, alternate lifestyle. And they don't see anything wrong. Why? The Holy Ghost convicts you of sin. When you reject the Holy Ghost, how are you convicted? You know, I don't think this is rocket scientist. I think it's elementary. Unless you have a seared conscience, then you want to believe what you want to believe. The person of the Holy Spirit has intentions. The Holy Spirit has discretion, gives direction, loves, testifies, teaches, shows willingness, and prays. Nehemiah 9:20. You also gave your good spirit to instruct them. What? To instruct them. How do you get your instructions if you deny the gifts of the Holy Spirit? If you deny a third of the Godhead, who is instructing you? Nobody is, other than your denomination, because you're engaging in homosexuality, lesbianism, all forms of fornication and lasciviousness, and you call it fine. We're under grace. Who's instructing you? Some man that has rejected a third of the Godhead behind the pulpit? Who's instructing you? I'm just curious. People that are watching, I know in my room, that's a little different. They know the truth. But who is instructing you? Are you going to a church that denies a third of the Godhead? I'd get out of that church. Oh, I'm going to change the church. I don't believe it. They're going to change you. Get out of the church. Find one that believes in the fullness of God. I don't know anybody with good intentions that has changed any church. And I hear them, oh, I'm going to change it. I'm going to change the Catholic Church. Yeah, right. I don't see it now. The Pope is backing homosexuality. You sure changed it. You're not going to change the Vatican. You're not going to change it. Do you understand prophecy? They are part of World War III, riding on the coattails of a German-led European Union invading Jerusalem, first by invitation, then by force. You're not going to change that. I think you're just flat naive, real naive. I'm going to change it. Yeah, right. You don't understand the Word of God. You're not going to change it. The Holy Spirit has discretion, gives direction, loves, testifies, teaches, and shows willingness and praise. Again, Nehemiah 9:20. You also gave your good spirit to instruct them. To instruct them. John 15:26. But when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. Who? The Spirit of truth. Homosexuality is not condoned by God. Doesn't matter what church you go to. Acts 13:2. And they ministered, worshiping the Lord, and fasted. And the Holy Spirit said, separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work which I have called them. The Holy Spirit pulled out these two men. Go into full-time ministry. Go on the mission trip. Do you pray for the Holy Spirit? I guarantee you mainline churches don't. They get together and reason together. Oh, we'll send these two homosexuals out. They can help the homosexual community rise up and go to church. That's how totally ignorant and a seared conscience they have. Romans 8:26 and 27. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. For we don't know what we should pray for, but the Spirit himself makes intercession. Without the baptism, sometimes you're praying wrongly. You're praying amiss. When I pray for people, a lot of times if they don't tell me, if I don't discern something, I am praying in tongues because the Holy Spirit will not fail me. God knows what I should be praying for. And I just trust in him. He searches the hearts, knows what the mind of the Spirit is. He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. That's good enough for me. Since there is one God manifested in three persons, the Holy Spirit has been here since the beginning, the Holy Ghost. Since we worship one God manifested in three persons, the Holy Spirit has definitely been on earth since the beginning. Genesis 1:2. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Didn't say God was hovering or Jesus was. The Holy Ghost was. Three persons in one Godhead. They work together. Revelation 22:17. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. Let him who hears say, come. Let him who thirsts, come. Whosoever desires, let him take the water of life freely. Revelation. From the beginning to the end, the Holy Ghost has been here. He's part of the Godhead. One of the persons of the Trinity. If you want to know God and you want to know Christ, you've got to know the Holy Ghost. Luke 1:15. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from his mother's womb. A lot of truth in that. Filled with the Holy Spirit. Here he wasn't even supposed to drink wine or strong drink. Luke 1:41. And it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary that the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Luke 1:35. And the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the highest will overshadow you. Therefore also the Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. The Holy Spirit will come upon you. Didn't say God will come upon you. Didn't say Christ will come upon you. Did you ever study these verses? It's not a Mormon like God will lay with you. If you know the Mormon ideology, you should. We were taught it here. The Holy Spirit will come upon you. God didn't have sex with Mary and created Jesus, like false religions believe. Matthew 3:16. When he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were open, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon them. Jesus knew the importance of it. He knew the importance to work with God and the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit in world evangelism. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is a must for effective evangelism in the nations. This is why Jesus instructed not to go into ministry until a person is baptized in the Holy Spirit. How can a person have the boldness to truly go where God tells you to go, or to cast out demons or see miracles and healings without the power of the Holy Spirit? Without the conviction of the Holy Spirit, people won't repent of their sins. And we wouldn't obey the will of God. Why am I doing what I'm doing? Why am I getting ready to go to Bogota? Because of the Holy Ghost. Because of the conviction of God. Because of the direction of God. Because of the will of God. John 16:8. When he comes, he will convict the world of sin. Convict them of sin and righteousness and judgment. The person of the Holy Spirit transforms lives. Acts 1:8. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and then you'll be my witnesses. Note, a Christian is transformed within, so a person can see Jesus' love without. The Holy Spirit transforms us within, and people can see Jesus through our lives. Because not only do we have the fruits of the Holy Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, temperance, but we do the will of God. They can see miracles happen, demons cast out. The same Holy Spirit makes true ambassadors of Christ with his power and authority working through us. Did you receive the Spirit? Galatians 3:2. Luke 11:13, Father gave the Holy Spirit to those who ask him. In conclusion, the baptism of the Holy Spirit is critical. If we are going to save the Republic, we must have another national repentance, which is a great awakening. Mainline churches aren't going to give no great awakening and save the Republic. They're part of the problem that go along with sins of abomination. Join Eagle Saving Nations today, worldministries.org, to bring the power of Pentecost by the baptism of the Holy Spirit into the national stadiums all through America and around the world, in every state, in every nation. Only the church through the baptism of the Holy Spirit can save the nations from a one-world government and the tyranny of Antichrist. worldministries.org, worldministries.org, worldministries.org. We need your help to stand this local television radio station, PayPal, Zelle, warning@worldministries.org for the reference number for Zelle. That's warning@worldministries.org. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Seek Terry. He will not disappoint you. He will come if you're serious. That's what the Bible promises, which is God. Worldministries.org. Phone number 360-629-5248. God bless you.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Warning Radio with Dr. Jonathan Hansen, founder and president of World Ministries International. Warning Radio is a listener-supported program. We need your donations in order to continue airing these Christ-centered prophetic programs. Send your checks or money orders to World Ministries International, Post Office Box 277, Stanwood, Washington, 98292. To donate securely by phone, call 360-629-5248. Visit our website to find other ways of giving and a wealth of information about World Ministries International and host Dr. Jonathan Hansen. The website is worldministries.org. There, you'll also have access to hundreds of previously aired radio programs, made-for-television videos, thousands of articles, Dr. Hansen's books, and travel itinerary. Again, the website is worldministries.org. The phone number is 360-629-5248. Tune in at this same time, Monday through Friday, on this radio station for the next exciting edition of Warning Radio with Dr. Jonathan Hansen. Remember, the Lord is not slow about the promise of His return, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing for any to perish, but for everyone to come to the repentance that leads to eternal life.